Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Before we get started, there's a video I had because this video kind of shares a little bit, in a funny way, kind of what we're going to talk about. So if you guys have that video, can you show that? So let me interpret this for you, okay? Let me interpret that for you. When I looked at that, I said, wow, isn't that like us? We're going to drown, Lord. I don't have enough. I wasn't born in the right family. I'm over my head, and I'm freaking out. And I'm in tears. And whatever's happened to me, I don't like it. I'm in an uncomfortable situation, like this little boy, until the Lord shows up and says, stand up and you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay, church. I don't care what the news media says. I don't care what your neighbor says. I don't care what your parents have told you or aunts and uncles. In the name of the Lord, you're going to stand up and God will not abandon you. He will not let you go. So this word that the Lord gave me was couched in a text that I'm going to read right now. And I thought it was standing in the midst of rejection. But the Lord changed it on me and he said standing on the midst of abandonment. And why is that a big deal? Because it is a big word. Our culture faces it. You will face it. Obviously, this little kid faced it. And he thought he was abandoned and was going to drown, even though everybody was around him. And he was tied and hanging on a rope. It didn't dawn on him that he was in 2 feet of water. And I believe the enemy will use abandonment as a psychological weapon on you to distort your thinking and the values of what the Word of God declares, that I will never leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you, Jesus said to the disciples, as orphans. Tonight, you're going to break off that orphan spirit. Tonight, you're going to break from abandonment issues. What are the abandonment issues? Psychologists say it this way, even though I'm not one or I want to be one. Somebody the other day called me doctor. I said, I'm a doctor of nothing. I have no authority in that. But psychologists say it this way. The issues of abandonment and the roots of that deals with trust, because if everybody leaves you, you don't trust anybody but yourself. And you build a wall of insecurities that people are going to leave you. Let me take that a little bit further. In the church, we put this in our head that, yes, I know you're here for me because you say you're my church family, but at the end of the day, you're going to leave me. You're going to abandon me. You're going to neglect me. Somehow, I'm going to get the raw deal and end up alone again. So we built a wall of mistrust, and we trust no one, including God. This is that issue. Paul faced it. You're going to face it. People will abandon you. People will hurt you. People will walk. Maybe they even walked from your life late sometime in your own life, like a divorce or a family member or a confidant or somebody that was close to you, like a business partner, and they up and left. That's a reality that we have to face. That's a reality that unless we confront it, we're going to start believing the lie. Like they left, you're going to leave. And I love you, but I don't trust you. And this is what Paul confronted. So the message tonight is standing in the midst of abandonment. Now, like I said, the enemy uses it to manipulate us and hinder us. He uses it as a psychological weapon to attempt to disconnect us and isolate us from the presence of God. And this is why the presence of God is so important. This is why we worship and we invite the presence, even though theologically we know God is everywhere. We believe, and I believe, where the presence is, security is. Where Jesus is, I will be okay. Where he's not, I won't be okay. So we invite the presence of God to show up in every service. If the presence of God is present, then the church is going to be okay. If the presence of God is not there, then the church will fall apart. If God is present in your life, then you're going to be all right. If he's not, you are on your own. And this is a weapon that the enemy uses time and after time. And it has to deal with your past most often. My abandonment issues, and I've had some, or from my abuse and thinking, Lord, where were you when I was getting abused? Were you asleep? When I was a little boy and getting hurt and abused, where were you? So I built a wall of psychological wall of mistrust. And since God wasn't there, I have to be there for myself. And nobody's going to take care of me but me. And I doubled down and I Christianized it. I studied the Word of God. I got it in me. But somewhere inside of me, it never left the idea that even though you say you love me, deep down inside, there is something inside of me that says, I still got to take care of me. Which creates idolatry, which creates a manifested selfish saint in the reality and the culture that we live in today, to where it's all about you. It's all about us. Paul confronted this and he showed it right through the scriptures because he felt the pain of abandonment. He felt the pain of this. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 through 17, said this. This is Paul dealing with this abandonment issue. Because it was present in the reality of how God called him. He was a very unique individual. He was well gifted. He was super smart. He was anointed. He was a theologian. He commanded an authority. He excelled in everything he did until Acts chapter 9 came and got knocked off his horse and a reality dawned on him. He was coming against the hand of the Lord and the Lord said, Paul, you're my servant and I'm going to use you to preach my gospel and I'm going to do a total turnaround in your life. And when that happened to Paul, everything about Paul changed. Everything manifested different, and every demon in hell came against him. In this context, he's writing Timothy, and he's dismissing himself in this chapter. He's saying, my departure is coming near. I finished the course. I've done my job. I'm ready to go with Jesus. And he's giving some instruction to a young pastor and says, but be aware of these certain things. So the teacher, the church, the Holy Spirit is going to give you those things tonight. He said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 17. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, loving the present world, and has departed to Thessalonica. And census is for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia, and Luke is with me. Yet Mark, bring him with you. He's useful to me in ministry. Tychicus is sent to Ephesus. Bring me the cloak with to Carpus and Troas and come with the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me. It's a big word. As Paul was getting persecuted, before he got to Rome and house arrest, he was under the authorities and they began to attack him. If you read the text on other books that he wrote, he was attacked from every which way, and dangers of countrymen and dangers of even believers. People were coming against what he was doing and how he said it. Here in this text, he blatantly says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. All forsook me. But it may it not be in charge against them. Even Paul practiced forgiveness. And that key is a big key. I'm not going to focus on it because I don't have the time. But even though they attacked him, even though they neglected him, even though they harmed him, he was not going to put that in his heart because that will cause the gospel to be hindered. He says, but the Lord, verse 17, stood with me, strengthened me, so that the message might be fully preached through me, that the Gentiles might hear. I was also delivered out of the mouth of lions. And the Lord, verse 18, delivered me from every evil work and preserved me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul confronted, and instead of dismissing himself in these feelings of abandonment by Demas and Alexander the coppersmith, or even all abandoning him, he came to the reality that we have to come to tonight. That even though people will neglect you, even though people will confront you and abandon you, maybe they won't stay in your corner or stay in your side, or maybe they will stop believing in you, or maybe they will come against you to harm you. The bottom line for Paul is God stood with me. Even though everyone left, God didn't. This reality needs to be your reality and my reality tonight. Because Paul fought back the emotions and the feelings and stood in the midst of abandonment by, number one, the Lord will strengthen you when others leave you. When God comes next to you, this is all you need. You don't need the favor of men. You don't need a tap on the shoulder, attaboy. You're going to do great work. Although those things come and those things go, the consistency of God inside of you is where Paul landed. That consistency destroyed the spirit of abandonment in Paul's life, because the reality was when everyone left him, God didn't. And he stood with me. And he stood with me because he delivered me from the mouth of lions, because my life is not my own. I'm a conduit of the gospel, and he will get his purpose done through me. So that means wherever I go, the Holy Spirit is with me and destroying that abandonment issue inside of me. And it doesn't matter who says to me whatever. Why is that a big deal? Because in our culture, you can't tell anybody anything. The offense is always present. And I'm serious, and I believe it's an offensive culture, because they don't understand this concept. They have to fend for themselves. They have to defend themselves. They have to shore everything up. And everything has to be fair. Guess what? Life is not fair. And Paul understood it. He understood, I'm going to come against some evil people. And it's okay because God is with me. I'm going to come against some lies that aren't true, but God is with me. I'm going to come against and I poke in the devil's den and he's going to try to bite me. But in Jesus' name, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I got the authority of Christ and I don't care who comes against me. In Jesus' name, I don't feel abandoned. As a matter of fact, I feel very secure. And until we have that in us, my friends, you will never get to the place of destiny for your life. What is this place of destiny for Paul? He was a conduit of change to the whole world. Yes, but that was Paul. But listen to what the Word of God says. Even though everybody left him, God didn't. Everybody deserted him, God wouldn't. That's how powerful the grip and the hand of the Lord is. Even one of the Timothy says, even when I'm faithless, he remains faithful. Do you understand what that means? We don't play games with God. Once he has you under his care, act up all you want, cry all you want. I'm going to drown. I'm going to drown. Nobody cares. I'm going to eat some worms. You got Jesus in the backside of you saying, stand up, boy, stand up. Then all of a sudden, like in the video, the countenance changed. Okay. I thought I was going to drown. I thought I was going to die. You know, I raise teenagers, and teenagers have a different language. I told one, and I won't say who, because they're going to come after me. Hey, clean your room. Why do you hate me? Clean your room translates hate? This is the offensive culture we live in. We can't tell anybody anything. So when they attacked Paul and they will attack you, you better gear up and understand one principle. The first principle is God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God will never leave you as an orphan. And I don't care if you were adopted. And I don't care if you were thrown away in a trash can. When God found you, he put purpose in you, and he put life in you, and he have a mandate and a purpose, and you have a calling to fulfill. Like Pastor Dan taught this morning, we are all full-time ministers. Let's get off that everybody hates me. Nobody wants me. Nobody's fair to me. Nobody's nice to me. Nobody's going to give me a chance. Guess who's going to give you the biggest chance? Jesus Christ. Take it. Take that chance. 2 Timothy said, 14, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that I might fulfill through me the gospel to hear with the Gentiles. He delivered me out of the mouth of lions and he commissioned me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this, for my grace is sufficient for you and my power is perfected in weakness. When you're at your weakest time, God is at his best. When you don't have it, he does. When you can't, he will. Understand this, church. God does everything backwards. Well, I can't come and overcome that. You're right, you can't, but in the name of Jesus, you will. But I stepped in to a generation of poverty. Guess what? In the name of Jesus, you're going to walk into the land of blessing and break that stronghold of poverty in your life. Why? Because it's pervasive. It trickles down to you. Well, I'm not going to amount to nothing because that's what people tell me. Guess what? In the name of Jesus, you do the rewrite. In the name of the Lord, I can't. But because his power strengthens me in my weakness, I don't know how, but I'm going to get it done in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to be the best employee. I'm going to be the best Christian. I'm going to be the best supervisor. And even in the little that I got, I'm going to flourish and do great things in the kingdom. Not because of me, do you understand? It's in the great hand of the Lord and his grace to you. God always rewrites the unfairness of culture and people. He always comes and does that. If you let him, he'll do it to you tonight. If you let God empower you, you will find a well of blessing that's inside of you where the Lord tells you himself, hey, man, I'm with you, man. I got your back. I got your front. And I'm going to open up some major doors. Watch. Here it is. Trust me. But I can't. That's where you have to overcome. But my last company did this to me and I got swindled. But my last investment, I went bankrupt. But I lost my last ends and my last home. But I messed up my marriage, Pastor. Hey, God is in the business of second and third and fourth and fifth chances, and he doubles downs on grace, and all of a sudden you have something more than you lost. And that's Job. Lost everything, trust God. Remember his wife? His wife is the culture of this land. His wife, curse God and die. He hates you. Look it, you have nothing. Remember that message? But he said, hey, naked I come, naked I go. How dare me, one translation says. How dare me to curse God and die. Yet this is what we do with things that are pervasive towards us of this perception of being attacked and abandoned. Let's do the rewrite. Number two, the Lord will deliver you when others want to harm you. Not everybody has your best interest. I love politicians. We have them in this church. Politicians always say we have your best interest. I have it. We got it. Vote for me, problem solved. How many know we've already been here down this road that we can't trust these guys that say that? You can't trust sometimes your own family members that tell you that because they have a track record of mistrust. And just because you can't trust them doesn't mean you can't trust God. Back to point one. In this thing, even though people attack you with intended harm, God will defend you and bring help and healing to you, and he will protect you. When we understand this in this light, Timothy said this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. In 1 Timothy, Paul rewrites these two clowns that came after him. Hymenaeus and Alexander. These were two individuals that were coming up Paul's ranks, and all of a sudden they did a rewrite in their spirit, and everything that Paul was working for, they were working against. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? Here, you know, I am trying to do something positive. I'm trying to move forward. And boy, everything's coming back against me, including family members. Maybe some were at your turkey table last week. Hello? We're quiet in here. Here's why. Because people say things, but God does things. People say a lot of things. Hey, follow me, man. I'll take you to great places. Come. All you have to do is look at the internet. You're going to be rich overnight. Oh, my God. Really? Follow me. Hey, $25.95, you're in. We don't sell that here. We sell a God who, once he says something to you, he's the promise keeper. He has no will intent. He's not evil. He won't hurt you. He won't hurt you. Maybe others did, like they did Paul, but even though Paul grew up and said, wait a minute, I leave them to their own demise. He didn't even go up that rabbit trail. He just stated it to Timothy and left it alone. You know why? Because Paul was in the hand of the Lord, and the gospel was he risked and invested in Paul, and Paul delivered a gospel to us Gentiles. You and me because of this position right here. The gospel opened up to us because there was a man risked getting harmed by people. There was a guy that was confronted and done wrong. Yet he said, I give them over. I hand them over. Whether he excommunicated them, or he prayed them out, or he blessed them away, whatever it was, Paul said, these two brothers are no longer going to be a hindrance to me, because honestly, they didn't hinder the gospel being preached. All they did is hinder me. The gospel is much alive, an unstoppable force. And that unstoppable force has reached us thousands of years later to prove his point. When God has you in his hand and says he will never leave you or protect you, he also says he's not going to harm you. As a matter of fact, he'll deliver you. He'll deliver you from the pit of hell and destruction. He'll deliver you from the mouth of the lion, the text said. He will deliver you from unbelievable circumstances. How did that happen? God delivered me. God showed up and made a way where there was no way. You know, there was I remember one time my friend got in an accident on a freeway. And how many know it's not wise in the middle of the freeway with all this traffic to walk on the middle of the freeway when there's an accident? Well, this brother, me, I wasn't that wise. I was young and dumb. And I started walking in the middle of the freeway and telling cars to stop. And my friend was saying, hey, Alvarado, you're going to get killed. Get out of the freeway. And I like, oh, okay. And I kept on directing traffic like a goofball. I believe the angels of the Lord were working double time and saying, protect that little guy because he don't know what he's doing. And I have an anointing and a calling, and he's going to reach a lot of people. So I don't want him dead yet. So I'm going to surround him even though he doesn't get it. Even though he doesn't understand it, because he's an idiot in the middle of the freeway with all this traffic. And he's going to die, but since the angels were around me, I got protected. You know what? They're around you. You guess what? They're around your family. Guess what? They're around your children. Guess what? They're around your animals. You're serious. I got a crazy psychotic cat who needs breaking free. God loves this crazy psychotic cat who needs breaking free so much so that she's just in love with me. She's endearing to me. She comes to me. My wife's jealous. Look at that dumb cat. Doesn't go to nobody but you. Look at you. Well, I got the favor of the Katie on me. Well, guess what? You have the favor of the Lord on you, my friend. And there is no weapon formed against you will prosper. No demon in hell going to come and bite your seed and eat it. No one will attack you and disrupt the godliness line inside of you. Pastor, I don't have anything. That's where you're wrong, my friend. You have everything in Christ. Everything in Christ you have. All the commanded blessings. All the authority. Number two, he came in with this reality. The reality was that God himself will never abandon him. Number one. Number two, that God will not harm him even and deliver him, even though others want to. Number three, the Lord will preserve you. In other words, protect you and maintain you when others couldn't do it. One of the issues I deal with pervasively in restoration is the issue of adoption and abandonment. These kids that we adopted even when they were children, they had came with some very big problems, and one of them was this, that since mama wasn't there for me, even though they birthed me, even though daddy wasn't there with me, that I guess you guys are there, but your surrogate parents, but inside of these kids grow up this pervasive idea that really nobody loves me, nobody wants me, nobody cares for me, and I should just die. And that's the abandonment root issue. And this is the orphan spirit on the church today. Because they're birthed out of these unforeseen circumstances, we judge God and men and others, and we judge him falsely in saying, just because our parents did that and walked, just because they were crazy, doesn't mean God's crazy and God has a plan and purpose for your life. He won't harm you, but he'll also preserve you and protect you. And that's a big word today. Who's there to defend me? Who's there to protect me? Who's there to shelter me? Here's who's there, Jesus. Here's who's there, God. He will be the defender of the fatherless, the Bible says. Father to the fatherless. He will come and endear you and give you blessings. One of the things I want to do before we end tonight is sit under the presence of the Lord and accept who the Father really is to me and you. He came and commanded a blessing. He came and commanded anointing. And he bought us as sons and daughters of the King. Not rejects, not throwaways. But Pastor, you don't know my past. You don't know where I've been through. You're right, I don't, but God does. And God wants to double down and preserve your life. He said he will keep you alive, free. That word preserve means keep you alive, intact, free from decay. You won't rot under the hand of the Lord. Timothy says this, back to Timothy 2, verse 4 and 18. The Lord rescued me from every evil deed, brought me safely to the heavenly kingdom, and to him be the glory forever. Amen. God rescued him from every evil. God intended to bring him to a safe covering and a safe place until he made it to eternity. Guess what? It's not over. You know, this idea in marriage, and we say this a lot, especially for those of us that marry people, that there is an attitude and there is a theology of marriage, a Christian marriage, that where two come together, it's like Christ in the church. The difference is there is a tagline that we use in that sermon when we say it, till death do us part. In that tagline, it's wrong when it pertains to God and you. Because when you die, you're not departed. You're with him. It's not till death do us part. Where Paul landed was, even if I die, I'm in. Even if I die, I'm okay. Even if I die, I'm protected. Even if I die, I'm anointed. Even if I die, I still win. Do you understand what that means? Well, if we die, we're done. No, there is a kingdom and there's an afterlife. And that afterlife is at your grasp. Please don't see the lens through life of the now, here and now. It's the beyond. And this is where Paul landed. The reason why he can say God preserved me and protected me, because I have a mandate and a purpose. And when I do pass on this earth, I'm passing on to the afterlife. And there the King of Kings that I saluted to and I signed up for will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my kingdom. You've done well, my son. Command, look what I built for you. Look what is yours, because you were obedient. Even in the obedience of death, I created something that no one can do for you. That's where Paul landed. Do you understand how big that is? We think death is that's it. It's not. But they're no longer here. My dad passed away over 2 months ago. I miss him dearly. This will be our first Christmas without him. Even though I miss him, my mom misses him, we all miss him. I know when I get to heaven, he's going to have a big old smile on his face and say, since I've been here before you, I'm going to show you around. And this is all the seed that my family and our family planted. Come, come, my son. Let me show you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm going to walk around this heaven, and I'm going to be very blessed with a dad who made it and commanded a blessing beyond his own reality, because he's very successful in heaven because of Christ. because he had the same thing Paul had on him. Even though people abandoned him, even though people hurt him, he understood God was going to preserve him and protect him and anoint him for an intended purpose. If we live this way, we're going to be very successful. If we don't, we're going to be very sorrowful. You're going to go from church to church, offended by everybody. You're going to go from career track to career track and stuck because you don't understand. The steps of the Lord are ordered by him. And when he orders your steps, he's going to tell you, if you're listening, where to go, how to do it, and when to. That's how wise God is. He tells you what to do and how to do it. He just doesn't say, go over there. He just doesn't say, go to church. He says, come into me, and in me, let me rewire some things in you that you don't even know that you have. And let me double down on anointing and an authority that you never thought you can have. And when you get up, you're going to be like the Apostle Paul, commanding an army of heaven because of the authority that's inside of you. Pastor, you might feel that way, but I don't. This is where we need a rewrite of our soul. Abandonment can choke you, manipulate you, and kill you. And it could Paul, but since he didn't die alone, the Bible says this in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him and the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. God is building a useful kingdom inside of you through the testimony that you have. That testimony is going to send the enemy to flight. That testimony is going to be a testimony that's going to command armies, because you know inside of you the testimony was given to you by God. Some of you should be dead. Some of you should be misfits and crazy. I've met people that should be in insane asylums and now walking sane because God healed their mind. I see people all over this campus that were delivered from the mouth of the lion. I remember Deborah right here, and I'll say her name. Deborah is one of our SBTs. When I went to visit her at the hospital, because she had a brain aneurysm, and the doctor said to her and her family, hey, get the family together. Get your priest here. She's dead. And I remember I took Reverend Tony, I took Pastor Tony with me, and I said, Tony, we're going to learn something here. And we went into a full room with all her family members. And I got up on the couch, like me, okay? I got up on a big couch, and I said, hey, my name's Pastor Joel. This is Pastor Antonio. We're going to pray for Deborah's healing. And if you don't believe, get out. I'm the nice pastor of the Rock. People looked at me funny. Her family didn't know what to do. I said, you guys believe? Because I believe. In the name of Jesus, she's going to rise up. In the name of Jesus, she's going to be healed. In the name of Jesus, let's declare it together. And I screamed at the top of my lungs. You guys know I could scream. I screamed at the top of my lungs. And I said, Deborah will live and not die. And I went into her hospital room. Yeah, her word of testimony. I went into her hospital room. She flatlined twice. I took the oil and I said, in the name of Jesus, her testimony will be given to many people and they will have an instant turnaround at the word of her testimony. Deborah came out of that so successful. Her neurosurgeons and doctors are astounded that this lady has no side effects of what could and could have killed her, and did, because she flatlined twice. Why am I saying that? Because you're the testimony. You're the walking book for people to see why you exist, why you're preserved, why you're not eaten alive by this world. Your testimony inside of you is what Paul did and said. His testimony said this, because God came and used me and rescued me to deliver me to safety to build his kingdom. Guess another testimony. right out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. It was Stephen who was full of faith that was being stoned when Paul, or Saul, before he became Paul, was saying, give that guy a licking, cause him to die, and they thrown stones to him and they killed him with Paul or Saul's command. Now the Bible says this, very rare moment. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. But being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed intensely to the heavens as he was being stoned, and Jesus was what? Standing. Did this brother affected the Christian world so much so he got a standing ovation from Jesus? Seriously, look at, stand at the right hand. Usually it says he's sitting, place of authority. This is a text where we read this brother with his testimony unto death, because he was full of fire and full of the Holy Spirit, got a standing ovation from heaven and said, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the kingdom of God. I have a place for you. Because he broke from the abandonment. Guess what? Everybody was against Stephen, including Saul. But God never left him. As a matter of fact, the text says he was there standing. How do you stand in the midst of abandonment? Is these three things. Knowing God that will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He can't. He'll come against his word. Knowing that those that have harmed you, God won't harm you. And God will preserve you till that day. You are a gift. You're a gift. You're a gift packaged by the King. You are bought with a price, the Bible says. You have been given something that the world neglects. I love Christmas because we sing about Jesus, even in secular radio. It's amazing. You hear the Christian music, you hear the Christmas music, and you hear them talking about Jesus. You hear them declaring the King. The people don't believe it. Go to the malls. You think they're worshiping the Lord? They're worshiping the dollar. They're there for other reasons. And I'm not blaming the culture. That's what the culture does. But this people, you are a gift. You are preserved. You have a mandate and a purpose. Pastor, I don't feel that way. That's why we need these principles. You got to understand that God is with you to the very end. And even in the afterlife, he's with you. Yeah, people hurt you. They do all the time. We as men of God always get hurt. I mean, they tell me, oh my God, I've had people come up to me, oh my God, that was the best message I've ever heard in my life. And then the following week, they're walking. Oh, guess what? I'm leaving you and leaving the church. And I, by the way, one guy told me, I hate you. And he walked out. Like, man, after all that, one guy ran up to the pulpit and he said, you're the devil. I mean, seriously, he came right up here. And not here. I wasn't breaking free. And he says, you're the devil. You're Satan. I hear Satan talking through you. And I said, no, I'm not Satan. As a matter of fact, you're filled with the devil. So stand back over there so I could cast that stupid demon out of you. So behave. Shut up. Get out of my message. Okay, we have an authority. We have a commanding. But what? Here's what we have to break from tonight. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. Until we accept this, we're always going to feel fatherless. We're always going to feel abandoned. We're always going to feel neglected. Until this drops in your spirit like it did the Apostle Paul, you're always going to be stuck with this issue. I know people say they love me, but they don't really mean it. I know you're going to always have a hard time building relationships. You're always going to have those walls. So here's what I want to do, okay?